Okay. So we're holding here in Parshas Matos, and the first one is Laman al Chavzayim, where they were instructed after they went to war on the Nekam of Midian. It says, V'chatzitza samol koach, you need to split what you took, bein tov samol chama yitzin etzava, bein koleida, between the people that go out to war to the people, to everyone else. So the Sforno gives a reason why. The Chatzitza Makoach, in a certain sense, I guess, like, why is it fair, or what's the inyan? Vipnei, shahoysa mulchama mulchemes nikama, amashenase neged kulam. Rotsa sheskaim b'chum b'chalta shalai becha. Ke inyan David b'shalal amolik, ke omre hine lechem bracha b'shalal oyvi Hashem. So you find by David also, that he split everything between the Taif Sekelim and the Yotze Mulchama, so the Yoshua Kelim and the Yotze Mulchama. So the Sforno says the following explanation, that the reason is because the purpose of eating the Shlal Oyev was not a reward for the fighting. It was a reward for the fighting, so it's really not fair that the people sitting behind should get as much of people fighting, actually. But he said it was something else. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who had promised them that they would have Nekama. Nekama means I take back that which the enemy has done to me. So it's not, a Nekama is more than a defense. It's a victory of sorts. Taking the person's shalal is a sort of victory. And that is why it needed to be across the board. Because Midian had put down Kal Yisrael, you know, in a very essential way. Midian had tried hard to destroy Kal Yisrael from within. So anyone who was a part of Kal Yisrael needed to have that taste in the Kama. Rav Hutner has a fascinating piece on Purim about by David. It says it was a Muhammad Amalek over there when he said that they should give half to the people that remain and half to the people there. His point is, he goes with a mahalach that retaining, in Ruchnius, retaining what you've attained and going further are equal in value. So that's why the people who stayed behind, the way he describes it, were guarding that which was. So imagine, let's give an example. Imagine a person is in war, and he's not a great general. He's very, very impulsive. So he goes out and conquers a huge piece of land, but he comes back home. He has no home left because someone conquered his home. So he really didn't accomplish much. So in the big picture, the way he describes it is, it's the going ahead and consolidating what you have, and the importance of consolidating what you have. Okay, the next one is Rabbeinu Bechaya. This is one of his psukim. It says, Atoros v'divon v'yaza v'nimra v'chezmer l'olei v'svam v'vo v'om. 10 names of cities. The Gemara, when the Gemara wants to use a mashal for how important Shtaymikach Targum is, the Gemara says that even Atoros v'divon need to have the Targum. Which is, despite the fact that it's almost meaningless, it's just names of places, and a whole pasuk of 10 different names of places is still it's telling you something, or it's nine names of places, and there's something significant about it. What is significant? So Mechai explains, V'tzorshes b'inin, ki oid yesh b'binyan arm elu shmoyse yinista. So first of all, Mechai explains it, and then he says, I want you to understand that all of these places also have a nister component. V'akosev azeh yevaya b'tachtoinim, v'yirmoiz b'elyoinim, v'shemoiz ha'binyan ha'elyoin. He says, the nine names over here are refer to something real in this world, but really are alluding to something much deeper to it. So first he gives us the general structure of the number 9. The Timtzum Pasuk says Tisha Shemos. Keneged Tisha Vayomer Shebereishis. These are Keneged the nine Vayomer Bereishis. Ki Asiri Elo Lahaske Ki Hu Ayin. Valkeinu Tzuch Loim Bereishis Amaymu. So the Rechaya explains over here, Chazal say Basar Mamar Zivra Olam, and if you look at it, there are only nine places where it says Vayomer. So Chazal say Bereishis Nami Maymer Hu, but it doesn't say Vayomer, which means there are 10 Madregas, popularly known as 10 spheres, nine of which are essential building blocks of the world because they go into the Mamorim of Bereishis, and there's one that is sort of a bridge between the infinite and our finite world. So a bridge means, a bridge is, I see the end that sticks into my backyard. I don't see the piece that extends over the river. So the bridge sphere means there's a sphere which I see the end result of it, but totally cannot fathom where it's coming from. So if we divide up HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhagas with us, so there are nine Madregas, there are 10 Madregas. Each one I understand where it comes from and where it's going to, because it's all part of my world, except that the very root of it, the 10th one, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have no idea what went into that. All I know is I see as it feeds into my world and continues to bring those spheres with it. That's the significance of 9 and 10. So he says, "Asiri ein laskir ki hu ayin." It doesn't exist. Ayin doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it's hidden. I guess v'chochma me ayin timatzei. It says in the pasuk, from where does chochma come from? Chochma comes from nowhere. Nowhere in the sense meaning a place that is unfathomable to me. So sort of tenth sphere is something which comes. Its beginnings are totally nelam from me, and it's from its appearance onwards that things begin to make sense. And that's why they have to say Bereishis Nami Maimahu. Because Bereishis, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Bereishis, but we didn't hear him talking. We start with him. It's just like, if I can give you just like an example, I guess. A person is very, very close with his parents and knows everything about them, you know, as much as he can know, and so on and so forth. But it starts from the moment of birth. No one ever was there at his parents' birth. So you know your parents from a certain point onwards, and the rest of it was. It's hidden. Same thing with Bereishis. The world starts with the Maimah of Bereishis, but it came from someplace else. Says there's also another thing. All these midas of nine are divided into three, three, and three. Let's just give a little bit of understanding about it. He's touching lightly on Kabbalah stuff. The midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the spheres that we're familiar with, most of which, if you daven so far, you say it by spheres with great kavana. The spheres are 9 plus a 10th sphere, which takes it to the beyond. Those 9 are divided in two ways. There are 3 sets of 3. Each set is a midah of a chesed type midah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, and there's a midah of a gevurah type midah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is restraining, withholding, and then there's a middle midah, which is balancing how much. I guess if you were like a hot water, you have a faucet that's hot water and cold water, and somebody regulating how much of each is necessary now. So every set of midas comes in a threesome. It comes with the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of giving in different levels. It comes the midah of withholding and restraining, and the midah of regulation, which is a middle midah. That's one. Those midas are at 3 levels. One level is a level in the world of machshava, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chachma, by a human being, the first level of activity lies in the world of thought and planning. The second level would be the thing that I'm coming up with, the thing that I'm actually producing. And the third level is how to implement it. So one is the root, the second one is the midah itself, and the third one is the way which implement it. So for instance, let's give an example. Let's say I decide to be giving to a certain person. I debate how should I act towards this person, and I say it's time to be mekayem the person, time to be giving to him. Then I say, okay, the next meeting is I allocate a sum of money, let's say. I'm going to give him $1,000. Then I have to figure out how to give it to him. I may decide to give it as a gift outright. I may decide to give him an easy job to work in something. I may decide to give it as a long-standing loan. Different ways in which I can produce it. So those are basically the midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're familiar with, Chesed, Gvura, and so on, that we say Sfas Omer. They come across, there's three more, that's Chabad, Chacham Bina and Deah, and different variations. Those midos are seen as being midos that are connected with a beyond, and they work at three levels of three. That's why he says merumis when it says say that tkiyas sholosh or sholosh sholosh. The tkiyas are three tkiyas of three apiece. So in midoraisa, it's supposed to be a tkiya, a shvarim, and a tkiya, and three of them. Umashvir chav me'emetz raim yipasik zeh shiashim odem pashayisim atzibor shnayim mikvach targum. When it says that they should say Shnei Mikra Targum, it's the same thing. Akavana l'shalish hakosav l'koyzeh sholosh parim. You'd read it three times. There's bonin bo'izeh sholosh mailos v'binyan echa sholosh sholosh. V'afilu ha-toros v'divo. So he says, levaya, ki afilu posuk ha-meir al-shei mesa'arim. Even a posuk that sort of seems to just be telling the names of the cities, maybe a circle called Kafel, and you know, it's kind of just okay, you know, it's really insignificant. You will find that there's a lot of big things. It is all one kesh and one binyan. The ein hefesh from pasalu for esav, ben ataras for divin, vadoimelem, ben ataras for divris. Ki akol meikach remotz echad. It all comes from one common source, not another trouble. Let's describe this. Let's talk about this, because this is important. When we look at the Torah, and so we hear pshat, that's nice. We hear drash, that's cute. We hear all sorts of deeper points. Then you get gematrias, and you get all sorts of Kabbalah stuff, which to us sounds, I don't want to say the word contrived, but sometimes it sounds very contrived. But even if we figure, no, it's right, but it's really to us another thing that has been put into it. Let's give an example. Imagine somebody starts out with a suit, and then the suit's finished, the guy takes it, he weaves in gold threads, because he likes it that way. He puts in a camera to take selfies, and so on. Those are all things that the person added to it, and now I have a jacket that has in it the following things. So our feeling is like the Sefer Torah has in itself the events that happened, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put into it all sorts of Kabbalah stuff and this stuff and that sort of stuff. That's kind of how we think of it. And that it seems to us cumbersome, and even if it's MS, but it's still kind of cumbersome. A really good martial tip would be, let's say you're studying another person, you're a psychologist or just a person who understands people, and you look at the person, you look at his walk, how he walks. you look at his handwriting, you look at the choice of words he has, the interaction in different situations, and on all of them, you can write and understand it as a result of what his personality is. And some people say, well, come off it. You know, I mean, you're writing like a whole string of terror, like about this, this, and that. Do you really think that he sits and thinks about how to write the letter? And this is the exact opposite. Any activity that comes naturally from a person bears a stamp of that person. Some people are talkative. Some people are extremely secretive. You know, very, very incommunicative. Those type of people, whatever they say, you do well to think about what was he trying to say with that? What was he trying to get me to do? Because that's his personality. And a person's personality, so a person who's haughty is going to walk in a way that his presence pushes itself to the forefront. He's going to sign with a great big flourish. He's going to say things, he's going to talk about himself in a context of a speech. There'll be a lot of stories about himself and so on and so forth. Those are all different things that are the result of the one who's doing it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Mahalach, it will reflect itself on every level. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses everything, the truth, the emes of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will reflect itself in every possible angle. So the names of cities that are chosen to mark, you know, there's so much the Torah is missing. In a few thousand years of history, we have a few chapters. So everything that Torah writes and the choice of words and the cities that are picked, that they could have just said they conquered a bunch of cities. If the Torah is bringing these names down, the Torah says the cities they conquered were not just kind of a mikra. Each city had been built, and the person giving the name, the Gemara says, Ru'u Chazu, the names people choose reflect some intuitive impulse of the neshama, and that's why it's appropriate to learn it. Ateres, which means keser, it's the crown. Divon, who are Nora Yotzim Eidish and a Posek. Loshen Hikot Surva Yazuva Vayim, the word Divon is to flow. That's next Mida, where something flows from that Kesser. Vishwarem is the Shimashtaim Shemos, the Divon Ksiv. Vyazir is Ho, Cheke Ksiv, Azreda Ke Sheno, Varkoit Shmecha, Uksiv Hadar Koit Eidecha, Ushuk Smoil, Kachitzach Odom, Ezemimeno. So basically, he's saying if you go through the various names, you're going to find a Muslim. This, by the way, was, I don't say the word justification, but the way to understand a lot of the Siddush Torah, and some yes, some not. They all seem to us kind of, for Litvak, they seem to kind of be quite off base, like all sorts of things, saying, you know, gematrias are Muslim, and sometimes it's really just a cute way to present an idea. But there's also a certain chinuch that in a Dvar Hashem, there's nothing devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also, I want to add something. When we look at science and biology and physics and all these things, there's something there very, very significant about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the structure. I wanna point out something, and again, I don't know, you know, it's we don't know enough of science and enough of Torah to be able to say these things. But take a look that in the Torah, light is the first bria in the world, and in science, the great constant is light, and it's against light that motion is movement is measured. It's almost as if that's the building block of the world a certain way. Is it a coincidence? You know, I think many of the way in which people's bodies work, there's a mechanical justification for much of it, but there's also a deeper insight, the fact that we have 10 fingers, the fact that we have 5 on the right hand, 5 on the left hand, the fact that hands act in a certain way in concert with each other, and feet act a certain way, and it's different, and so on. All these things are reflections, because a person imprints his personality in everything he does. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is almighty and all-encompassing, certainly does. Okay, one more small piece, and we finish Matos. So he told them that it's something which is, if you go there, then we'll conquer the land, and they can go back and so on. The another says, Lifnei Hashem, Kishom Ha'aro. The Lifnei Hashem means that since the Aron goes out to do battle, that's called Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem Kishperashi Kil Oilehu L'Shvach. So, Lifnei Hashem was always referring to Ke'ilu, the Aron is where we have a sense of the things. When something disintegrates, falls apart, you can say the thing is off-ratted, or you could say it's because of my might that it fell. Being that the Aron goes in front of Klal Yisrael when they do war, so the victory in the war is that things collapse, Lifnei Hashem. Okay, we'll hold it here.